World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Dave, I just looked at that thing, man. I got to clean myself up here. Don't want you thinking I'm a hermit or slacking off or anything like that. It's crazy times in which we live. And thank you for joining us here this morning. I just pray that the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into all truth. And I just pray that where there's liberty, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And you folks feel free to speak up, whatever's on your mind, and this threshing floor, this clearinghouse that we have before us. And I was... Before we went on the show, I had Myra pray for us. Myra's in Maryland, and as she was praying, I heard something from the Holy Spirit, and I just want to share that with you. I've got a little piece of candy in my mouth here. Bear with me a second. And really, kind of, really, really profound. I was thinking, I don't want to sound too cheesy. I really love my wife. I really love Michelle. She and we've been married 40 years and dated a year before that, so 41 years. And I can't imagine my life without her. And I can't imagine anything that I would ever do to betray her trust. I would never do it on purpose with a woman or anything. I just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't, because I love her. I love her too much. I wouldn't want to harm her. I wouldn't want to hurt her. And I was thinking this morning as Myra was praying, actually, how much, you know, the two become one, and that miracle that happens in marriage. And then I heard the Holy Spirit ask me if I loved the Lord. Boy, it stopped me. Right in the middle of her prayer, it stopped me. Do I love the Lord? And if I love the Lord, do I treat the Lord with the same respect that I treat my wife? I would never do anything to harm my wife, offend my wife, disappoint my wife. Doesn't mean I don't. I never would. And so I was thinking, and the way your mind works goes quickly like that. I was thinking about my relationship with the Lord. Do I love the Lord and defend the Lord and protect the Lord and honor the Lord with the same degree that I do my wife? And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I do. I think modern American Christianity has taught us that Jesus died for us, and that's where we leave it. I think modern American Christianity has taught us a sacrifice-less fellowship of Christ. We know very clearly that the scripture says, the Lord said, excuse me. He said, don't bring me anything that didn't cost you something. Don't you do that. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Do you do that on a regular basis? Do you get up every day and your full intention of your heart is to serve the Lord? And I was thinking, well, I wonder what would happen if every day I got up and my full intention was to please other women, what the reaction of my wife would be, and how long it would take her to not only be wounded, but to be disassociated, angry with the fact that all of my attention was going to another woman or women. Or how about this? Have any of you ever been accused by your wife of caring more about your business than you do about her, or caring more about playing golf than you do about your family, or any number of things that can be laid at our feet, things that we really are interested in and our love is and really put our heart into? Do you really love the Lord? Do I really love the Lord? And I could bring Roger in here because he's an attorney talking about divorce. And any of you who've ever been through anything like that know that there's probably no greater hatred that you're ever going to find than in the midst of a divorce, ever. Two people who formerly loved each other who now can't wait to rip each other's teeth out and fight and scratch for every nickel and dime and property and child and visitation. And it's often the result of adultery, but do you love the Lord? And you know, the Bible says that whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. He chasteneth. And if Jesus said to us, occupy till I come, he said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. And because all power has been given unto me, go ye therefore. He said, we say I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Do we really? What would that look like? And did God, Christ die on the cross to take away all the fun in life? Does his death, burial, and resurrection and salvation require us to live like monks, not have any fun, and hunker down in our prayer closets? And if all power has been given unto him, if at the cross, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, he would destroy the works of the devil. If the works of the devil were destroyed at Calvary, and Jesus said, it is finished. What is the destruction of the works of the devil has been finished? And if he, as he's getting ready to leave his disciples, he says, go ye therefore into all the world and do what? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Love them with you always, even unto the end of the age. If his death, if we love the Lord, why don't we do any of those things? Why don't we do any of those things? Why don't our churches teach us sacrifice, loving sacrifice? I don't know anyone, bear with me a second. I don't know anyone that sacrifices more for her family than my wife. It's an amazing thing to watch her with our grandchildren, giving baths, cooking and wiping behinds and loving and hugging and reading books and playing games. She is totally and completely devoted to her grandchildren. And I often ask myself, why? How come I'm not like that? And especially towards the Lord. Why do I put so many things before the Lord? How did we get into a situation in America where we think that when Christ died on the cross, the relationship was forever sealed? There was never ever... Would your marriage work like that? Would your marriage work if it was always about you? Would your marriage work if you were always going to your wife and asking for something that do this and do this and do this and do this? And any of you guys out there married to a woman who sometimes just throws her hands up in the middle of the kitchen and says, I can't do all this. Can't you help? Think the Lord ever feels that way? Do you think the Lord ever looks down upon us and says, God, can't you help? Can't you help? That's pretty profound, you know. It's supposed to be a two-way relationship. It's not him loving us, it's us loving him. And the Bible says that you shall know them by their fruit. The Bible says you shall know their Christians by their love. Well, love for who? Love for what? And how many things are there out there that dominate your life? And if you were, did you ever get around somebody else's kids that were brats? Young kids usually, but even older kids. And then on the way home from that get-together where you watch those other people's kids be brats, on the way home, you say to your wife, somebody needs to beat their ass. Pardon my French. Do we ever think that way about the Lord? Does the Lord ever look down on us and our selfish, disrespectful behavior towards him and our unwillingness to stand up and even defend him publicly? Does he ever look down on us and say, well, you know, somebody needs to beat their butt? I hope not. But I think maybe right now we're getting a butt beating. That's what I can't. Those of you out there who think we're coming to the end times, how can you sit passively? How can you sit silently, quietly, passively in your home? How can you retreat into your church and go to prayer service and think that's all that requires? You know, the Bible says, I hear people say this, not the Bible. People say, well, coach, the Lord's in control. And I think, well, boy, what a cop out. What a cop out. Why even go to work? Why even eat or exercise? Why even, if the Lord's in control, why even do anything? And how many of you in your life sometimes leave the house in the morning or in the evening or go somewhere to do something and you pray that the Lord will bless you as you go? Well, then he must not be in control of everything. If he's in control of everything, why don't you just go? But I think our theology, excuse me, is destroying us because of the passivity that we see in modern American Christianity. I was reading something last night about a protest. There's so many protests going on. I don't know which city I was reading it about, where the police officers estimated that there were 1,000 people in the street. I said, what? 1,000? I know churches, mega churches, that have 5,000 people. Just go to that one church. 5,000 people. Go to that one church. Where are they? Where are they? And is there anything we can do besides pray? Why is prayer always the fallback position? Can somebody help me with that? Why is our only weapon prayer? And we don't even do that. We don't even do that. Now I'm going to tell you this. This is just my theology. I don't think we're at the end. I don't think we're in the 7-year tribulation period. Jesus can come at any moment. It's been imminent. Bible says it's imminent. It says in the first in Gospel of Matthew, I believe, that the kingdom of God is at hand. That means imminent, meaning could come any time. We don't act like that. We love the world. We so love the world. We love our stuff. We love the things of the world. And the Lord hates adultery. He hates it. And whether we want to admit it or not, folks, we Christian Americans, we've been fornicating. We have been fornicating with the world. And what we are seeing is simply the consequences of our fornication, of our lack of fidelity to the God we claim to serve. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You don't love the Lord. I'm just telling you, you don't. I don't. We love the quote to scripture. We love Christ because he first loved us. Well, that's a heck of a, that's a heck of a note.
Dave.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say that I think too often, I said it before, but all too often, I believe that we kind of look at God as a genie. And mm-hmm. Our prayers are wishes. We're not praying with authority. We're not commanding what it is that we will ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. We're just, Lord, just ask for our blessing and just help us continue. You know, because why? Because we are making a wish more than we're making a statement.
Yes, we are, Chad. That's well said.
Yeah, we don't, amen, Chad.
Knock,
amen.
Knock and the door shall be opened, it says, right? So we have 1,000 people show up in Columbus. Maybe it was Columbus. I don't think it was. But one of these, you couldn't get 1,000 Christians out to do anything together. Couldn't get anything to do. We save the love. We love the Lord. But the Bible says that if you love me, you'll love the things that I love and you'll hate the things that I hate. We don't hate the things the Lord hates, folks. We don't hate it. Because I'm telling you something, sitting on the back, my back porch, and mosquitoes come and start smacking me. It doesn't take very long before I start, man, I hate those mosquitoes. But see, we don't hate the things. We don't really, really hate them. Because if we hated them, we would do everything we can to eliminate them. But, you know, I sit on the back porch and I don't just let them gnaw on me and say, oh, well, it's just this. It's in the summer. It's what you expect. They're probably going to get worse. It's the attitude of the church. We don't love we don't love the Lord, and we don't hate what he hates. We don't.
Coach?
Yes.
You know, earlier you said the world will know you by your love.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask your love for what?
Mm-hmm.
And the word is very clear. It's our love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the satanic social clubs are really good about, getting people to congregate with one another and to party with one another and this and that. But to love one another, to care for one another's situations, and to keep it limited to one another. The Bible does not say the world will know you by your love for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's what the satanic social clubs have taken that verse to mean. Oh, if we just show them how much we'll love them, they'll come to Christ. Bullshit. The Bible doesn't say that.
Mm. It doesn't, Larry. It doesn't. I got to show you this, folks, because I was really, really troubled by this today. Sheldon, go. I was really troubled today. I've got something to show you here later on. What am I looking for? Go to my, go to my Facebook page, Sheldon. I want to show you several things here. Stay with me, folks, while I'm in the same stream of consciousness here. Anyway, I want to get to my Facebook page because I saw this morning and it irritated me beyond. I just irritated. Okay, so right there. The Bible's not a prop. Religious leaders, lawmakers, outraged over Trump church visit. Folks, hey, Sheldon, leave that right there. People are complaining. They say Donald Trump is just playing Christian. Well, wait a minute. Hang on. Did Obama? Did George W. Bush? Billy Clinton carried a Bible to church after he'd screwed Monica Lewinsky in the White House. He carried it to church every Sunday for about 6 months, trying to let us know what a Christian guy he was, right? So here we are in a time and a place in America. I don't know Donald Trump's heart. I don't know whether Donald Trump is saved or not. I don't know that. But I know this. I don't know the last time I ever saw a president do that. Can anybody in your recollection ever in your life remember a president of the United States standing outside of a church and holding up a Bible? And in my mind, he is appealing to the church. He's saying a couple things to the church. Number one, come on, church. And number two, I stand with you, church. I may not be a Christian, or I may be a flawed man. But church, I'm holding this Bible because this is our only hope. See, that's the message I'm receiving. That's what I think. Now, I want to ask yourself this. Sheldon, pull up the picture that I saw that says Trump and church. I saw this. This is yesterday, folks. Can anybody? Listen to me. I don't care whether he's genuine or not, okay? I don't care where he's genuine or not. The man is sending a message. Did you ever see Obama do this? If Barack Obama had done that, oh my goodness, they'd have built a second White House for him. George W. Bush, you ever see a picture of George W. Bush kneeling beside his wife praying ever? Do we know if he's praying? Well, he's probably faking it. He's faking. He's the worst president we ever had. Orange man bad. So, see, folks, you're missing the whole point. The whole point is he is saying, come on, church. Come on in, church. That's what I think. They say, well, of course, coach, he's just doing that because he needs the political support. Okay, well, then don't support him. Don't support him and support the people out in the streets rioting. Go ahead and support them. It's a powerful picture, I think. And he got criticized for using religion as a prop. America's sick, folks. Hey, the church.
Hey, coach.
The church is sick. Stay there on my Facebook page, Sheldon. The American church, the Satanic Social Club, is sick. We're sick. Go ahead, Jeff.
Don't you think, I mean, the things he's done here lately with, he said he's going to put prayer back in school and then the Bible to church and kneel in there. And most, I've been hearing from some of these Christians lately, some of the churchgoers, that, well, God will fight your battles. They just think God's going to fight the battles for you. So they sit back and think Trump's going to fight their battles, well, and they Jeff, don't have to do nothing.
Jeff, even worse than that, he does something like this, and we can't even get an amen. We can't even get an amen from the pulpits. We can't see the pulpits sit back. Trump, I think, is holding up that Bible saying, this is our only hope. Where are you, folks? Where are you, church? That's the message that I see. But see, we're so passive, we would never. Are you kidding me? 1,000 rioters in a city of 1.8 million people, I think. It's 1.8 in central Ohio area, 1.8 million. We get 1,000 thugs out in the street, and the church is powerless. And I think this guy's standing there holding the Bible saying, boys and girls, can't you see they're attacking the churches? Now, this is St. John's Church. Larry, this is the ultimate satanic social club, this church that he's standing in front of, right? But the symbolism is unbelievable. They are burning down church. Folks, they are burning down churches in the United States of America, and all our religious leaders can do is make it political. Shame on us. We ought to be running to his defense, whether he's phony or not. He's sending out virtue signaling. Is that what they call it? Come on, church, come and stand with me. Oh, I can't. He was an adulterer. Oh, I can't. He didn't do that. Dudes, you better wake up. Yeah, was that Larry? Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, what you're saying, coach, and I think you said it a while ago, is, hey, folks, pick a side and act accordingly to what side you pick, not pick.
That's right.
Because there are, it's like a razor. Offense between God and not ungodly is like a razor blade. It's a very, 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 very sharp, fine point. No way to sit on it. You're on one side or the other. Pick a side and act like you're on that side. And if you don't act like you're on Jesus' side, he said it, if they're not for me, they're against me.
So, Larry, if
they're not against me, they're for me. Sounds like a contradiction. But both statements say exactly the same thing. There are two sides, one or the other. Which one are you on? And does your life does show which side you're on. Think about that.
Yeah, but see, I am thinking about Larry. And so again, I come back to where I started. Do we love the Lord? Do we love the Lord? Despite that picture on your screen right now, that man, that orange man, that controversial man standing on there, he is standing in the midst of this controversy, and he's holding up the word of God. Folks, can't you see it? Can't you see? Can't you see what's going on? Can't you see the direct assault upon Christianity? Can't you see it? Can't you see that 1,000 people show up in any city and torch it and demolish it while millions and millions and millions sit home and do nothing? Our churches close down. Our churches don't intercede. Now, some churches are starting to hit the streets. Folks, listen! It takes more than prayer. Prayer is not enough. It's not enough. We are. I don't know if it's the end of times or not, but we're going to lose our country. We are going to lose our country, friends. if Christians don't step to the plate. Go ahead, Jeff.
Amen.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I would just let people know, a group of us went to the Mount Vernon protest the other night, Monday night, and then Pastor Bill and a group of us are going down to Coshocton Saturday night. Try and be that light and darkness. We're going to go. And they might not like us, but we're going.
Well, in the smaller towns, Jeff, I'm finding out in the smaller towns, they're a lot more peaceful. They're a lot more peaceful. And
yeah, we're using that example to go in and witness to them, at least go in there and try and reason with them. Say, listen, boys, you know.
Well, that opens up another.
It's a bit easier to do than the rowdy ones, the crazy.
That goes, folks. Listen, I'm in a transition in my theology here. I'm having a midlife Bible crisis. I really am, because the focus of the modern American church. Hey, listen, I might be wrong. Okay, help me walk through this. The focus of the modern American church is evangelism and getting people saved. And that's good. But folks, that's not the focus of the gospel. Go ye into all the world. Pull that up, Matthew 28. Pull that up, Sheldon, Matthew 28, I think it is. Stay on the Facebook page because I'm going to come back.
And coach, while you're going there, you know, this, I think about there's been times with OSA that we have had nearly 1,000. Brother, we didn't do any of this ridiculous stuff. And no. If one person got out of line, brother, they would go to arresting us. Now, to your first point about scripture, oh, he's not moral. Geez, we always use King David. You know, he not only was an adulterer, but was a murderer. Let's look at Xerxes, the king who marries Esther. He had his first wife beheaded because she wouldn't come to his chambers. You know, let's think about Hosea, where the Lord said, go buy that prostitute off the block and marry her. Mm-hmm. We won't think about Rahab, the harlot, who literally spared the Israelites. Oh, we can't, you know, we want to get pharisaical. We can't touch that sin stuff.
Hey, Dale, could it be President Trump is standing in front of that church holding a Bible saying, hey, folks, this is the only answer, and it ain't my strong suit. Please, church, please come help me.
I think he's screaming. Coach, I think he's screaming a message. I think he's seen what our forefathers, I think he's learning history of our forefathers who said our Constitution was for Christians alone, only.
For moral and religious people, it's wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. Sheldon, scroll down to 17, Matthew 28, 7.
Hey, coach.
Yeah, go ahead. Is that Randy?
You know, coach, our nation has idolized the president. He's only one third of the government. He's trying to show us that he's giving us the counsel of the godly. You've been on, you know, Psalm 1, the counsel of the ungodly. Coach, he's laying it right out in front of us. And the church and the nation, we can't see it.
No, we can't. We're Pharisees. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Hey, doesn't say get people saved. I'm sorry. It doesn't say that, folks. Because listen, you can't get people saved. Only the Holy Spirit can save people. Only the Holy Spirit. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him, right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Time out. Teach them what? Teach them what? And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he comes back to teaching again. He doubles back to teaching. What? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Go and teach. Dennis Prager, I don't know if I said this yesterday on the show or not. I heard Dennis Prager on his show say with him, most profound mic drop statement I think everybody had ever heard. He said the solutions to the problems in America are very, very simple. He said, if we would all in America just simply teach our children the Ten Commandments, all of us required learning the Ten Commandments, this stuff would disappear. T- teaching them to observe all things. See, we want to go get people saved. And then we want to teach them how to get wealthy. And then we want to teach them how to be healthy. And then we have so lost the focus of a kingdom is coming. A new king has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, the imminency. It's here. It's now. It's within. It's us. Authority, Christian authority. And we don't teach or believe any of that in Christianity anymore. Christianity is just a lifestyle. It's just a lifestyle people live. Yeah, come on in.
Coach, why is it that we lose our first love? Do you remember when you fell in love with the Lord when you got saved?
Oh, man. Yep.
Do you remember the euphoria, how I was Amy Grant. I carried one of those 10-foot Bibles and everywhere I went. I slept on my Bible. Why is it we lose our first love? What happens in this country where we lose that passion, that love, that fervor? What happens? I'm going to read it, okay? The Beatitudes, Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We get offended about everything. Everything offends us. Amen. And then we grow lukewarm and then we just get bitter. And then we have to get all that junk out of us. We have to protect our hearts and be like little children. And that's my passion. We have to be like little children. Our hearts have to stay tender.
You shall know them by their love. See, here's the only thing that I would add to that is, see, my passionate depth of my love for my wife is different than when I first fell in love with her. I love her more and more and more.
That's
and more.
Good.
I don't sleep on the Bible anymore, but my love for the Lord, my love for the Lord is deeper. It's deeper. Listen, my commitment to the Lord is deeper than it's ever been. My commitment to my wife is deeper than it's ever been. Deeper than it's ever been. Hey, friends, are you committed to the Lord? Are you really, really committed to the Lord? And I think if we would all just get right down to it, we're not. We're committed to the Lord because of the stuff that he's going to give us. The stuff. That's what it is. I'm on my Facebook page. You may not want to watch this. Scroll down a little bit. Folks, I'm telling you, you may not want to watch this. This is a, stay right there, brother. There was right there, brother. Go back, Sheldon. This is a former police officer and former retired police captain was shot dead in St. Louis last night. He's two nights ago, trying to protect a store. And black man. I don't know who shot him. I don't know. And kind of appropriate. He dies with his phone in his hand. That's the way most of us are going to die, and probably on Facebook. But I'm telling you, you may not want to watch this. So I'm giving you a fair warning. I want you to see the reality of what's going on in America, the destruction. Hey, not about George Floyd or whatever his name. It ain't about that. There's a devil loose, folks. There's a devil loose. We got a president of the United States standing in front of a church holding a Bible and churches criticizing him. The devil loose. I'm only going to show a couple minutes of this. There's some bad language in this. This man, you're going to watch this man. As he dies, go ahead and play it, Sheldon.
Call the law, man. Call the ambulance, man. Come on, they just killed this man over some TVs, cuz. Over some TVs, cuz. OG. 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 OG, come on, stay with me, OG. OG, stay with me. Stay with me, OG. Stay with me, OG. Come on, OG. Come on, OG. Come on, OG. Stay with me. Come on, OG. Come on, OG. Come on, OG. Stay with me. Come on, OG. Come on, OG. Come on, OG. Come on, OG. Damn, man, I was some TVs, cuz. I was some TVs, man. For real. It's somebody granddaddy, cuz. Man, fuck you, nigga. What y'all trying to do? Fuck you talking about? Y'all kidding, man? I was some TVs, cuz. I was some TVs, cuz. You hear me? That shit we could get, cuz. I was some TVs, cuz. Stop playing, man. OG, come on, OG. Come on, OG. Come on, there's somebody's granddaddy, cuz. I was some TV. Call
that's
him,
somebody's granddaddy, cuz.
I was some TV.
That's somebody's
cuz.
Granddaddy.
Come on, cuz. Come on, man. We better than this, cuz. Over TV, cuz. Over TV, pop them, cuz. He gone, bro. He gone, bro.
That's enough.
I was some TV.
That's enough.
That's enough.
They're going to propel churches? Is that going to propel pastors? Is that going to propel God-fearing people? Say, well, that's enough. That's enough! Had enough of it! Is that what it's going to do? We're going to put 50,000 Christians in the streets? Christians are going to continue to hunker down? See, we already hid from a virus, didn't we? They already know we'll hide from a virus. We're sure going to hide from some angry kids with bricks. They know. They already got us figured out, right? We got phony faith. We got a phony faith walk, and we are not... We have no fidelity to the Christ we claim to serve. That's somebody's granddaddy. That's somebody's granddaddy laying there on that ground over a freaking TV. Hey, it's the end times. We'll be out of here soon. There's the evidence right there.
Well, Coach, let me jump in here real quick. George Floyd, who some want to say was this Christian, here's my problem. You know, when you were talking about not only do we not go and teach, but Mark 16, part of this devilish spirit that is out there, not only do we not teach properly, we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we got them saved, we'd be casting. These are the kinds of devils we'd be casting out of people, but we don't. So you got people like George Floyd, who was breaking the law, had fentanyl in his system, was a porn whatever. Committing crimes. Yeah, he was unjustly murdered, probably because he got saved, just prayed a little prayer, but he had all of his devils with him still because a weak, powerless, spiritless church led him astray. And the church, it says, you got to lay hands on him. You got to cast out the devils out of him so then you can teach them the proper true word of God.
Yeah, we don't believe in that stuff anymore.
Amen, Dale.
We're not talking
all the evangelism in the world without the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing it is not only useless, it's counterproductive to God's will.
Not only that, it says test the spirits. Test the spirits. That the devil comes as an angel of light, man. The devil comes as an angel of light. The devil don't show up at your door with the pitchfork and the tail and horns. He comes as an angel of light. That's why I go to the book of Jude today. Click on that, Sheldon. Click on it. I'm sorry. It's deep in me today. I'm not sorry. It's deep in me today. Click on the shell. I gave it to you there, Sheldon. Jude 1. Jude 1.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Randy.
If the picture you just painted is if we were to stop and look at this and look at it all day and do nothing but look at this, you got the president with the Bible begging the people to look into this and to receive its instruction and to move into that and repent. Mm-hmm. And you've got the picture that of the church, they're going to gripe at him and the nation for doing that. And then watch what we just watched and our heart doesn't cry out and repent. Then we are not the church. Like Larry said, we are a bunch of Satanist, loving, selfish bunch of worthless people.
Randy, it's akin in my mind, President Trump holding up a Bible in front of a church. That would be like going to a doctor who smokes but tells you, you better quit smoking. You're going to die if you keep smoking, even though he smokes. Are you going to say, well, I'm not going to take your advice because you smoke? And so President Trump shows up. Maybe he doesn't have any depth of Christianity. Maybe he doesn't even understand it. But he says, listen, we gotta use this thing. I don't know how to do it, pastors. I don't know how to use this thing. Help me. That's the way I read it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother James, to him that is sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Watch. Here comes that angel of light. Here comes that angel of light. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Where did they creep into? They crept into the pulpits. They crept into the churches. Said, be aware of them. They're coming. Ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Yes, ungodly men who say that you can have a, be a man and have sex with a man and still come to church. They turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus. We have pastors standing in the pulpits today justifying the destruction in our streets. Justifying it. They have turned the grace of God into what? Lasciviousness. Hey, there'd be a great word to look up, wouldn't it, Sheldon? Go to Webster's. You better copy and paste that thing. Lasciviousness. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. We got warned. Jude warned us. What is lasciviousness? I know what it is. I don't want you to think I'm lying to you. Trust but verify. Lasciviousness, looseless, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness, tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. So what does that go back to that scripture again, Sheldon? What does that say? Turn the grace of God into irregular indulgences of animal desires? Is that what it says? Yeah, it does. And when they did that, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievable, man. Right there it is. Our pulpits, the churches are full of these men. They're full of them.
Hey, Coach.
They're everywhere. Yeah.
Hey, read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 43, Coach.
Acts 2, 42 and, through 43. Acts
2.
Yes.
Hey, Coach. I don't know if you brought this up, but somebody put in the chat that on that sign where President Trump is standing, it says online services. So here it says online services, but he's standing in front of that sign for that church. I think you're totally on cue with that because he's saying, hey, church, come out.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm here. I'm out.
That's right.
While you guys are sitting inside.
But all we can do is criticize him because he's not really a Christian. He's using it for political reasons, right?
That's 42, right.
242, I think he said.
Mockers and scoffers, Coach. Mockers and scoffers. The Bible. Who is going to mock and scoff at anyone holding the Bible up?
Well, a lot of them are. Alan, what was that again? Acts 2, what?
42 and 43.
Mockers and scoffers. For the life of me, I can't understand why people won't support the president. I don't know what kind of Christian he is. Pick your favorite president. You ever seen a president do that? And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. What's the point, Alan?
We've gotten away from the apostles' doctrine, Coach, the powerless church. We've gotten so far away from what Christ taught his disciples. That's why we can't understand when the president stands up there and does what he does. We can't understand the imagery, the symbolism. We can't understand none of it because we're not walking where the disciples used to walk.
We don't have the spirit eyes. We don't have the spirit eyes to see. We don't. We don't.
And, Coach, and there's no fear without it.
Right, right. Randy, does it offend you that President Trump did that? Does that offend anybody in here?
No, it makes me weep, Coach.
It makes me weep, too.
Yep.
It makes me weep.
Coach, our sheriff, the sheriff in the adjacent county from me, Grady Judd, He's a trip. He's on point. He said, don't come down here to Polk County and think you're going to bust in our people's homes. He said, because in Polk County, Florida, we all have guns, and we're going to blow you right back out the door when you come in.
Mm-hmm. Not very Christian, is it? It's not very Christian. See, folks.
Hey, he's a Baptist preacher.
Well, I was being facetious, right? See, again, it's the misguided love gospel. Misguided. And I'm sorry, God does not love everybody. His love is available to everyone. But not everyone, that the lie, folks, that we're all God's children. Folks, that is a lie. That is a lie. We are not all God's children. We are all created in his image with the potentiality to be adopted into his family. He gave us, what's it say, Larry? To those he gave the power to become the sons of God. We are not the sons of God. It's a wrong, mistaught gospel, friends. It's wrong. We're not all God's children. We can be. It's available to all who will come. But until you do, you ain't in the family.
Preach it, Coach.
Coach, not only they complain about him holding up a Bible, they're complaining that he cleared a crowd of protesters to show the people to get out and start praying. They're complaining about the protesters being cleared out.
Joseph, I'm glad you brought that up. That was one of the first videos I saw when I sat down at my computer yesterday was those policemen clearing a path for the president to get to that statue or whatever it was. But those policemen, I don't know if the Holy Spirit said, hey, Larry, look at these idiots. But anyway, I know in my knower that those policemen on the DC police force were overreacting to the situation. You look at that video, there were very few people there. And instead of just walking up to them and asking them to move back, they stomped forward. They shoved their shields out. One of them threw a tear gas canister for like maybe three or four other people in the protesters or whatever in the picture. A tear gas for three or four people. I think those DC policemen overreacted like that because they knew they were on camera and they wanted to create a situation where the president could be derided again.
Amen.
Well, there are a lot of angles on everything that's going on. Yeah, come on.
Coach, read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. That's right there where we're at right now.
I get it, man. I get it. I know where we are. So, Alan, what are we going to do about where we are? Are we just going to sit here and say, well, hell, it's the end? Is that what we're going to do? If they're coming to rape my wife, I'm not going to say, oh, well, isn't anything I'm going to do about it. I'm going to do something about it. What are we going to do? I know where we are. What are we going to do? The men of Issachar understood the
time. David.
And knew what it was that Israel needed to do. What do we need to do? Come on in.
Dave, it's not the end. It's the beginning.
It's the beginning of something, but what's our what? We haven't even taken the first step towards correcting things. All we've done is identify them and gripe about them.
We have not done anything. We've allowed evil men to creep in. We've allowed them to creep in. What do you do if you allow bugs to creep into your own house? Do you just continue to live with them or do you exterminate them? Do you do something to clean the house? So here we are, church. Evil men have crept in. What are we going to do to clean the house? They weren't supposed to come in here. They crept in. They took over. They weren't supposed to. Oh, well, about out of here. Doesn't matter. We'll let them have it. Jesus will clean it up. Oh, what a...
We're going to do the same thing, Coach, that we've been doing for 65 million little baby boys and girls that have been crushed, ripped apart, heads chopped off. Nothing.
We don't care.
We're going to pray. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do nothing, Coach. You know what we are? It's not gospel. It's goosebull. The goosebull, you ever hear a goose? They are loud, cranky, squawky. But if you ever grab one by the neck, they're worthless.
The goosebull. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to steal that, Dale. Hey, Dale. Who am I to judge, Dale?
You're a Christian to judge.
Who are you to see? That's the gospel. Those are what those evil men who've crept in. They have brought us humanism into the gospel. I was going to do a PowerPoint this morning. That's what I was going to do to show you that I'm so frustrated. I'm so frustrated. I had a talk with David Berman yesterday. I don't even know if you guys know who he is. I'm going to have him on next week. He's a pastor in New Hampshire who's had enough of it. And same conversation. I know somebody said in our conversation, I said, ask him, I said, how many pastors do you know like you? And there was silence on the other end. And I said, I said, I think I know 20, 25. I may know 20 or 25 of them. But you know what the problem is, Pastor? I said to him, we won't play together. We won't play together. See, I can't be on the team if I'm not an abolitionist. I can't be on the team. Sorry. If I just want to save some babies, I can't be on that team. And so we have purity of theology and purity of gospel and pure. You get what I'm saying, right? Get what I'm saying? And so I look around at these 25 pastors. Could I get them all in the room, get them all on the same page, and all march towards the same direction? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit, because they won't do it. They won't do it. They're type A guys. They're leaders, not followers. And as a result, everybody has a plan, and nobody works together on a real plan. That's my frustration. I know great men all across America. I know guys like Dale Socha and Rusty Thomason, Flip Benham and Jason Storms and Matt Terwell. I could go on and on and on and on with good, godly men that I know, and we are not moving the ball an inch. Because we're not focused. We're not unified. Really not. I'm probably just as bad as any of them in the direction that I'm trying to go.
Coach, we have never been the United States of America. That's just an ideology. We have never been the United Church of God in the world because it's an ideology. We're trying to get to that. We are. Not everyone is because they still want their own little state where they have their own denomination and they don't want to fight with no one. And until you come out of that, you can never move forward with God's true theology. We will never move forward.
And you know what, Randy? The guys that I'm talking about are all prophetic voices, all of them. None of them, well, be careful. Very few of them, Dale, have congregations. Very few. Because men like them will not be shackled by elders and boards and crowds. They won't be shackled by that. So they can't build an army because the type of people who come there are a special breed in their own right.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a big favor. I just put a link in the chat to a 2-minute and 14-second video. Would you please ask Sheldon to play that video for us? And after it's played, I think you'll know why I asked that it be played.
Click on it there, Sheldon.
Welcome to the Friends of Liberty United website. Friends of Liberty United is a community of God-fearing Americans who know they are endowed with unalienable rights to life, liberty, and an opportunity to pursue happiness. They also know government was created for the purpose of securing these rights for us. It is self-evident that elected and appointed government officials have deliberately diminished and or destroyed our ability to enjoy many of our rights. It is time we say enough is enough and unite to regain control of government and reset it on its proper foundation. This can and must be done for the sake of all mankind. It is only Americans and their Constitution that stand in the way of the powers that be. Peacefully regaining this control demands millions of Americans work together through a plan permitting unity in actions of mutual interest while assuring everyone involved retains their freedom to pursue their special interests. Friends of Liberty United has such a plan. The goal of Friends of Liberty United is to restore to the states and the people the sovereignty and freedoms guaranteed them under the Constitution. We pray every concerned American will be introduced to the Friends of Liberty United plan and help implement it. For as Medori Severi said, quote, until we abandon our manifold private agendas and unite, we will merely be hapless observers standing at the bottom of a dark, deep pit, wistfully hoping to save the world, but really doing little more than breaking the fall of compatriots who are pushed in on top of us. Only by uniting in a common effort devoid of subjective paradigms will we be able to mold the human spirit upon which we may ascend to freedom. End quote.
Well, amen. Amen. See, here's where we are. Thank you, Larry. Friends, I'm going to tell you this. Violence will not be avoided. If we think that this diabolical, demonic horde is going to give up peacefully. Now, that makes Christians quake, doesn't it? Because we've been taught to love our enemies, be good to them. And I am. But I'm not going to love someone and be kind to someone who is antithetical to the Christ that I claim to serve. To a cadre of folks who are intent on destroying the future of my children and grandchildren. Folks. I don't care what Christianity's taught you. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. I wish that wasn't true. I wish I could stand here today or sit here today or moan here today and say, it's going to be okay. You're going to be raptured out of here before anything gets tough. And I'm going to tell you, that ain't going to happen. Although I'm not saying that rapture isn't going to happen. If you think that God's timetable is set on America, things are getting tough here in America, so he's going to get us all out of here. Hey, folks, it's been tough on Christians around the world for thousands of years, and they ain't been rescued yet. And I remember what my dad said one time in a tough situation with one of my brothers. My dad looked at him and says, well, son, you made your bed, now lay in it. America, we made our bed and we got to lay in it. But when we get tired of laying in it, we're going to have to get ourselves up and move our feet forward in our fidelity and our love for the Lord to do what he told us to do, to go ye into all the world and teach them to observe. Teach them to observe. Folks, teach them to observe, not just tell them, teach them to observe. We are at war, folks. We are at a spiritual war, and we are in a natural war, and we are in a cultural war. And meet, greet, and retreat just ain't gonna cut it. Buckle up, man. I don't know where we're going from here. We got to toughen up. Bless you, man. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.